Well, welcome everybody. It is a good day to be here in the house of the Lord. It is the last day of the year. We want to rejoice in what God has done this year and remember all these things. So I'm going to start with an opening prayer. Father in heaven, we rejoice in the opportunity to be here, the opportunity to open your word, to worship here, to sing your praises. Lord, you have been so bountifully with us. We rejoice in the Christmas Eve service and how so many came, and especially the kids that came. We just want to thank you for that bounty in the name of Christ our King. And we also want to lift up Roger, who can't be with us today, and all the others who we were hoping to be here but have not made it. And we just rejoice in what you're doing in the life of our church as we try to reach out into the community. We ask this in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Our first responsive reading can be found in your hymnal on page 255. That's 255. It's titled Epiphany. Join me. O God, you make one blood all nations, and by the star in the east revealed to all peoples, whose name is Emmanuel. Enable us, who know your presence with us, so to proclaim his unsearchable riches, and to all that may come into his light, and to bow before the brightness of his rising, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Our reading for today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 23, is the entire chapter. It's entitled The Visit of the Magi. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we saw a star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. Gathered together all the chief priests and the scribes and the people, he inquired of them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it was written by the prophet, 'And behold, in the land of Judah are by no means least among the leaders of Judah. For out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them that the exact time the star appeared. And when he had sent them to Bethlehem, said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. And when you found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him.' After hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which had been seen in the east went on before them until they came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. After coming to the house where they saw the child with Mary and her mother, they fell down to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Now, when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take that child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and destroy him.' So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother while they were still night, and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. That was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets, 'Out of Egypt I will call my son.' Then when Herod saw he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its vicinity, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children. And she refused to be comforted, because they were no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when they heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Lord, thank you for the reading of your word. We pray as we open up your text and scripture and expound upon them, Lord, that you open our hearts to a greater understanding of what these stories can mean in our lives. We just rejoice in this opportunity in the name of Christ our King. Amen. Now, the first part of this narrative is pretty simple. All it is gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The expensive stuff. Gold was, of course, cash or wealth. And, of course, every king has to have gold, including little Jesus. Frankincense was an incense used in Old Testament ceremonies. This can be found in Exodus chapter 30 and 34. Let me read that. Exodus chapter 30, 34 through 38. It reads, Then the Lord said to Moses, Take for yourselves spice, stackel, and onchi, and gablum, spices with pure frankincense. There shall be an equal part of each. With it you shall make incense and perfume, the work of the perfumer, salted pure and holy. And you shall beat some of it fine and put part of it before the testimony of the tent of the meeting where I will meet you. It shall be most holy to you. The incense shall make and shall not make in the same proportions for yourselves. It shall be holy to you for the Lord. Whoever shall make any like it to use perfume shall be cut off from his people. So I want you to understand that frankincense was actually used in Old Testament ceremonies, and it specifically was to connect the Lord's people with the Lord, with the high priest, with the Lord. And so it was more than just a perfume to smell pretty. It was actually a perfume that was used with other ingredients to make a holy concoction unto the Lord. And then there's myrrh. Myrrh was also used in making holy oil in these Old Testament ceremonies. In the same chapter, we back up a little bit to 22. Let me read from Exodus 30, verses 22 through 33. Anointing oil. Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take also for yourselves the finest spices of the flowing myrrh, 500 shekels, and the fragrance of cinnamon, half as much. 250 of the fragrant cane, 250. And a kasa, 500, according to the shekels of the sanctuary, and of olive oil of him. And you shall make of this a holy anointment, oil, a perfume mixture, and the work of a perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the tail of the intent, and the table that is utensils and lampstands, and utensils and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings, and the utensils and the layers that stands. You shall also consecrate them and make them most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his son and consecrate them, and they may minister to the priest to me. And they shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on anyone's body or shall make any like it in the same proportions. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whatever shall mix any like it, or whoever puts any in, a layman shall be cut off from his people. So once again, I'm pointing out that the myrrh is again used as a holy anointment to make things holy. So we have gold, which represents cash and wealth for the king. Frankincense is used for purification, and myrrh, which is used to make the priests holy. All of this is built with symbolism from the Old Testament. So, who were the wise men that were bringing these gifts? Well, they're pagans, astrologers. They're watchers of the stars. They're the men who would look into the stars and predict countries' futures and personal futures. It's good old-fashioned astrology. And they had the ability to look into the stars and see futures events, which is why they saw the coming of the king. And when they saw the stars in the heaven, they knew that this is something that God was doing for the king of the Jews. So it's amazing that it was announced by God in the heavens so everyone could see the news of the birth of the King of Kings. And we know that God uses the stars and the heavens to make announcements, because it says in Genesis, verse 1 through 14, Genesis 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights as a vault in the sky to separate the day from night. Let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. So you can see the text there in Genesis is telling us that God uses the stars in the heavens to make announcements of what things he is doing. And in fact, we can see that in Revelation, Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with sun and the moon under her feet and the crown of 12 stars in her head. She was pregnant, cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. This is all about the second coming. But it's amazing that we have Jesus' announcement happening by a star in Bethlehem that the pagans recognized as the birth and coming of the Messiah. And we have here in Revelation 12:1, again, signs in the heaven announcing of the start of the time of birth pangs when Christ will be coming again. And so God chose pagans, not Jewish leaders, but pagans to reveal his glory. Because we have in the story, when they showed up to Jerusalem, Herod and his people in Jerusalem were clueless. They sat at the seat of power. They weren't looking up at the heavens trying to understand what God is doing. They were looking at themselves and about their own power and what it could do. And this odd little star, if you realize it, in verse 16, which let me read that again. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 says, "Then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged and sent and slew all male children who were in Bethlehem, that is in the vicinity, from 2 years older and under, according to the time which he had determined from the Magi." Now, if you remember, the Magi saw the star even when they arrived at King Herod's palace. In fact, it guided them right to Bethlehem. And we're not going to debate over whether it was a star or a comet, but the reality is, this thing sat there for 2 years. For 2 years it hung among Bethlehem while Christ was there. And the people in Jerusalem should have taken notice, but they didn't. These men in the seat of power, these men that led the temple, the priests, and the king at that time did not look up, did not question this star that had been sitting in the same spot for 2 years. They were clearly more concerned about their own power and position than the work that God was doing during that time. And of course, there were people in Jerusalem that knew the Messiah was coming. We have the story in Luke of Zacharias. He was a temple priest. He knew he was coming because the angel told him that his son John was going to prepare the way in the wilderness for the Lord. And of course, we have Simeon and Anna. They knew to expect Jesus because the Holy Spirit had told them they would not see death until they set their eyes on the salvation, the coming of the King of Kings. And of course, the shepherds knew, and the angels told them and brought the good news and sang out glorious news. But not the king. King Herod had not a clue. And even more on top of that, the priest had the scrolls, and they could pull and open them and tell King Herod exactly where the Messiah was going to be born. Even them, they were not looking up. They were more concerned about what their lives were there in Jerusalem. And so the Jewish leaders were not interested in the things of God. So that means the Jewish leaders were enemies of God. And of course, the Magi, after arriving in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph had been there for a while. They were in a house. They located them. And it had been 2 years since the star shone in the sky. So it had been 2 years since the birth. So from a story perspective, it looks like Joseph and Mary had taken up residence in Bethlehem. Now, they had relatives there, which probably meant that they were staying with one of them. But the Magi arrived. They found Jesus. Jesus was being held in Mary's arms. And they knelt down and they worshiped Jesus. And they gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which we've already stated, all of these have a lot of symbolism behind them. And before they left, God sent someone to tell them to go out by a different route, which they did. They did not question what God had told them whatsoever. And it's interesting, Joseph was told in a dream to pack up and go to Egypt. But it's amazing that all these prophecies that were happening, we had to get Joseph and his wife Mary, before Jesus was born, from Nazareth all the way to Bethlehem. And that's in verse 13 and 18. And that reads, flight from Egypt. Now they had gone, and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, while it was still night, and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod, and it was fulfilled what had happened, spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." So we have this prophecy of where he goes from Nazareth to Bethlehem, stays in Bethlehem, he's born, and now he has to go all the way to Egypt. And it's all to fulfill the prophecy there in verse 14. And then we have verse 18, where Herod's anger also help fulfill this prophecy, because we needed to have some reason to have him leave Bethlehem. And that was because Herod sought the life of the child. And then we had the fulfillment of the prophecy here, where it says, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because there were no more." Again, a fulfillment of prophecy made by Jeremiah because of Herod's anger. And in fact, if you look, Herod's command was very similar to the same command that Pharaoh gave back during the Exodus. So if I turn to Exodus chapter 1, verse 15, and it's really quite uncanny. Because Exodus verse 1, 15 and 16 read, "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Saffron, and the other was named Pua, and said, 'You are helping the Hebrew women to give birth, and see them upon the birth stool. If it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, you shall let her live.'" So Pharaoh had the same idea, and that was to kill the babies. So that makes Herod an enemy of God, because Pharaoh was an enemy of God. And it was a prophecy that helped drive Joseph away. And of course, when Herod then dies, it tells another prophecy is fulfilled. And this would be verses 19 and 23 back there in Matthew again. Verse 19, we read, "But when Herod died, and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother, go into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead.' So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place where his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Then after being warned by God in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. It was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets, 'He shall be called a Nazarene.'" So once again, prophecy plays into this, driving Joseph from Egypt and not to somewhere in Jerusalem, but all the way down to Nazareth once again to fulfill more prophecy. So the entire story from Luke and Matthew is deeply wrapped around in prophecies. Jesus' first coming is made clear that there will also be a second coming, no doubt foretold from many prophecies. And of course, as we see here in these scriptures, we have Herod killing the Jewish babies. We have the Pharaoh killing the Jewish babies. The enemies of God kill Jewish babies. And it's amazing that that same spirit showed up here back in October 7th with Hamas, because they too killed the Jewish babies. And it's ugly. It's a grotesque story. And we in America and our American Christianity, we do not like it. But it holds truths that still resonate to the attitudes of the enemies of God even today. Satan has using the same tactics, the same plans that have been used in World War II, been used back here in the time of Moses and with the Pharaoh and Jesus and Herod. And the reality is, if Satan can kill off Jesus, or Satan can kill all the Jews, he wins and God is a liar. But God's word never returns void. So take hope in this story. God's plans will not be stopped by any plan by man, by any plan by any demon. God's going to plow through, and you will see Jesus in heaven reigning next to God the Father. Now, please open your hymnals to page 881. Page 881, the Apostles' Creed, the traditional version. Please join me in reciting it. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived in the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and he sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Now please join me as I say the benediction. May the Lord keep and watch between you and me, and when we're away from each other. Amen and amen. Depart in peace. Now, if you have any prayer requests for us next week, please take the time to text me. It's in the notes in the program. And also, if you can, share this message with others by sharing the link. Amen and amen.